Praise God. I want us to turn this morning to Romans chapter 5 again and verse 1. Remember last week we started with a verse that says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35, "Therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." Praise God. Don't cast away your confidence. How many know that confidence takes time to develop? You can't just become confident overnight in something. You can have a hope or a naive confidence in something that's been untested, but a tested confidence is something that develops over time and has to be developed inside of us. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 in the Amplified Classic Version. Someone told me last week, they said, "We're reading out Amplified and it didn't read like yours did." Well, this is the Classic Version. We have to clarify anymore what version we've got, because I thought there was only one Amplified Bible. Now I find out there's Amplified and there's Amplified Classic. And I just happened to be, you know, in the Classic Version, but anyway. It says, "Therefore, since we are justified," which means acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. That ought to be enough for us just to spend the rest of the day rejoicing on. "We have been acquitted, declared righteous," not because you earned it, but declared righteous because of Jesus, "and given a right standing with God. Through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace and reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God." Praise God. To hold and to enjoy peace with God. I always tell people there's two things that are absolutely important in your life. Number one, to be at peace with God. Number two, to be at peace with yourself. When you can accomplish those two things, you will know what it is to be free and to have victory in your life. Amen. That was good, Pastor. Woo! Glory! Woo! "Through Him also," let's finish that, "through peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, through Him also we have our access, entrance, introduction, by faith, into this grace," which means the state of God's favor. Praise God. "Through Him we have entrance and introduction by faith into this state of God's favor." Hallelujah. When you're in God's favor, it means that He opens to you what He has. Amen. To be in favor with somebody means that they are favorable to you and they receive you into their life. And to be in a state, to stand in a state of God's favor, means that He looks at you favorably and He receives you into who He is and what He has. Praise God. We have a state, we have a stand in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's all good stuff. Let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Pastor Rob's been preaching on hope. Praise God, that anticipation. But then the writer of Romans, which we accept as Paul, said, "Moreover," after all of that, after all that good stuff, then he says, "Moreover," or even above that, "let us also be full of joy now, and let us exalt and triumph in our troubles." After all of the good stuff of a state of standing in God's favor and everything, then he says, "But moreover, above and beyond that. Let us exalt in joy now. Oh, don't shout me down. This is good. Let us exalt in joy now, and let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing the pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience. It is so hard to get excited about that. Exalting and rejoicing in our hardship, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. And endurance, which is fortitude, develops maturity of character. Maturity of character means to be approved, which means approved faith and tried integrity. Not just integrity, but tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope. Joyful and confident. You know why so many people don't have joyful and confident hope today? Is because they see problems as somehow being just against them. And that you see your problems and the things that come against you as somehow God's mistreating you and He's not helping you and He's not blessing you. And how can God let this happen to me? We go back to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Every time something happened, they would get mad and say, God, did you bring us out of Egypt just to die? Did you give us water yesterday so we just die of thirst today? Did you feed us just so we could starve to death? What happens? Time after time after time, we forfeit the benefit of the pressure and hardships that come to our lives, and we end up being worse off instead of better. Woo! Boy, that's good preaching. Come on, somebody. Why? Because we take these things so personal as an offense against us instead of an opportunity to achieve the greatest thing we could ever have, and that is the joyful confidence of the presence of God, knowing that He is here and He will not let us down. You don't get there on easy street. You get there by being beat up. You get there by being stomped on. You get there by enemies coming against you. You get there by being in impossible situations and witnessing the impossible becoming possible. That's how you get there. But so often we give up in the very edge of victory because we become offended that God would let hardship come our way. Come on, somebody. Hardship is what will bring you to a place where nothing knocks you down anymore. Oh, this is good. This is good. Amen. If you want to really know what victory is, everybody's always saying, oh, I just want victory. Do you really want victory? Victory means you've got to fight until it comes. It means you got to stick with something until it happens. Many people are, what they're actually saying is, I want the benefits without the commitment. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. I learned this early on. Started learning this early on. I think I still learn it every day. Several years ago, many of you know the story so better than I do. Several years ago, after we buried our little girl, I sat and held her hand for 11 hours while she died. Slowly died in front of my eyes. Had to bury her. finally got Betty out of the hospital after them telling me that, you know, she had an infection in her body. They didn't know if they'd be able to stop it and all this kind of stuff. And her life was in danger and all this stuff. And then being buried, completely buried in debt with no hope, with no insurance, with nothing. Coming out of there with no job. I was an evangelist at the time. I had no income. I had nothing. The state wouldn't help me because I refused to divorce Betty. Hospital told me I had to go get help from the state. I went to the state and they said, you don't fit any categories. If you'll leave your wife, we will pay all these bills and we'll give her a monthly check. And they said, you can even live in the house with her, but you got to divorce her. Oh, it made me mad. I jumped up and there was all these, you know, cubicles with all these people working and stuff. I didn't have much sense back then. I jumped up and I declared to the whole bunch, I said, you are promoting the destruction of the family. If anybody should get help, it should be those that are trying to do something. And I said, all you want to do is destroy the family, and I want you to know something right now. God will meet my needs. I don't need you, and I don't need the state. I turned around and walked out. And with all that going on, all that destruction, besides the questions I had in my own heart, where I was struggling with my own faith and wondering what in the world has happened. I mean, I've been preaching the gospel and people have been getting saved and people healed and we'd seen miracle after miracle and just all kinds of great stuff happening. All of a sudden, all this happens. And on the day that we buried my little girl, the pastor of this church, who was Daryl Friend at the time, showed up that afternoon, right after we got eating some lunch, and said, that was on a Saturday, he said, would you please do the radio broadcast for tomorrow? I looked at him and I said, what? He said, I feel like you should do the radio broadcast tomorrow. He said, I need you to come over to church, we'll record it, and I'll take the tape down. And I said, I'm not doing a radio broadcast. I said, I just buried my daughter. I'm not doing a radio broadcast. He said, okay, I just wanted to offer it to you. I was mad. I was thinking, who do you think you are coming over and wanting me to do something like that when I'm still trying to figure out how all this happened? Of course, I've always had this sensitive spot to God, and it doesn't take him very long to whoop me. About 30 minutes after he left, I called him up and I said, can I still do that radio broadcast? I said, Brother Daryl, I have no idea what I'll say. But I'm going to do it. And I come over here and did the radio broadcast. And then he asked me a question that I never thought I'd hear at a time like that. He said, next week I was going to start a prayer meeting. He said, instead, would you start a revival here at the church next week? I thought, I can't even pick myself up. I don't even know where to stand, and you want me to start a revival? The next week, we started a revival here that went 6 weeks. And by the time that revival was over with, this church was packed out with young couples. People saved, and I mean, the whole church filled up in 6 weeks. That was after the most devastating thing that I could ever imagine going through. In the lowest hour, I had to get up. I had to quit whining. I had to quit feeling sorry for myself. I had to quit asking questions. Why did this happen? How did this happen? You know, where was God? All this kind of stuff. I had to quit asking questions. I had to get up, get my Bible out, and go back to doing what God called me to do. And He showed up in a powerful way through somebody that was so broken, I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't even know what to do. And yet God showed up. Night after night after night, God showed up. I don't know how to explain that stuff. But I do know this. If we don't learn how to start rejoicing in triumph in the middle of our troubles and our sufferings, we will never get to the place to where we know confidence. Confidence in God. Confidence that everything's going to be okay. Confidence that even though I got knocked down, God's going to get me back up. Even though everything's going wrong in my life right now, it's fixing to go right because I know the God that I serve, and He's going to pick me back up. And the devil might have stole from me, but He's going to pay me back with interest. The enemy might have come against me, but God's going to punch him in the face right about the time I get back up. If I'll just stand back up. Amen. If I'll just get up. And do what I know to do. The word that has been planted in my heart, if I just operate on that right now, I know that God's going to bring me through. You say, well, how can you believe like that when that everything just fell apart for you? Unswavering endurance. Unswavering endurance. How do you get to the place where you have unswavering endurance? Did you know nobody has ever accomplished anything without unswavering endurance? Nothing has ever been done that mattered in this world without somebody being able to commit to it and see it through to the end until they receive what they were looking for and what they were shooting for. Time after time, everything will fall apart. And we think everything will fall apart. A lot of times, God just tears it up and reassembles it because a bunch of junk got put in it. A lot of our ideas and things, our Christian life is not based on whether or not we feel emotionally well right now. Amen. The habit of joyful and confident hope. How do you develop a habit? You continually do it over and over and over until it becomes something that you don't even have to think about. Your brain just does it. Amen. That's one of the things that people have a hard time breaking. When you develop a bad habit, it's not just the thing, getting rid of the thing. It's reprogramming your brain to do something else. Huh? Amen. It's teaching yourself not to do that anymore when your brain doesn't want to do that because it's got this natural thing that it wants to do. And so you have to fight the natural tendencies to change and break a bad habit. It takes months to actually break a bad habit. Because you have to change, you have to erase that pattern in your brain. And you have to develop a whole new pattern where your brain does something else. Amen. Praise God. And a lot of us don't like to do that because our brain is not our friend. Most of the time, it works against us. Our soul, most of the time, will work against us when we try to do something good, when we try to change what we do. Have you ever noticed that when you try to give up sugar, you starve to death, even though you're eating continually? Have you ever noticed that? You can decide you're not going to eat sugar anymore, and you can eat 5 meals a day and still feel like you are starving to death. Your brain will not admit that it is satisfied. Why? Because it's addicted to that white cocaine stuff called sugar. It's needing a fix. I decided I was going to do that last year, and I did, and I'm still doing that. But I decided to do that last year, and I told Betty, I just get through eating a meal and be full. And I told Betty, I said, I still feel like I'm starving. What is the deal? And I said, this is quite an addiction. I never thought I was addicted to anything. This is quite an addiction. And so instead of wanting to give up, that made me mad because I don't like to be controlled by stuff. How many don't like to be controlled by anything? Praise God. Nope, don't be jabbing your wife or your husband. But when we understand the commitment, endurance, patience, when we develop a habit of joyful and confident hope, that's not something that we just is governed by our emotions. Joyful and a habit of joyful and confident hope means that no matter what is going on in our life, we continue the habit of joyful and confident hope. Amen. Val, I think you're going to come and turn the organ on and start doing some of that, you know, emphasizing what I say on the organ. I think that's we're going to have to do that. Superficial joy and hope are subject to our emotional state. Amen. The joy and hope of the Spirit are established deep inside of us, which makes our emotions subject to it. I want you to think about that for a minute. You got to determine what you're going to be subject to. If we are subject to our emotional makeup and our emotional being, then our joy and our confidence and our hope is going to be subject to that. How we feel will determine what we think is going on and what we accept as reality. But when you are governed by a habit of joyful and confident expectation, then your emotions are governed by that and have to become the servants of that. The core value in your life will determine what you consistently do. If your core value is established and you have a habit of joyful and confident expectation, then your emotions will become subject to that. And no matter what's going on in your life, your emotions will present what your core value says it has to present. Amen. You know one of the ways you start breaking depression in your life? You stop taking yourself so seriously. That's a hard sell. I have such a hard time getting people to buy that. When you stop taking yourself so seriously, when you stop taking your emotions and your feelings so seriously and start talking to them and saying, you are just emotions. You are just feeling. You are not truth. Because depression wants you to honor and worship it. Matter of fact, depression wants you to roll up in its comforting, supposedly comforting blanket, and it wants to whisper in your ear all the reasons why everything's going wrong and nothing's going to work out and you're not worth a dime and all this kind of stuff. If you will start laughing at that and start saying, you are just a lying emotion and I will not base my life on you, you will start changing. I know psychologists, you know, wouldn't tell you that because they love to sell drugs. Just going to be honest with you. If I would have listened to them, I would be so messed up on drugs right now that I wouldn't have been able to function because they wanted to give me drugs. But I found out that there is a God that is greater. Amen. There is a God that is greater. And I found out that whenever you're feeling depressed or you're having anxiety or whatever this stuff is, I've been through all of it. I've been through all levels of it. And I know what victory is because God will level you out if you'll start making a habit of joyful, confident expectation in the things of God and stop taking yourself so serious. Just because you wake up feeling like the whole world's crashing down on top of you and everything's wrong and you're not going to amount to nothing and all this kind of stuff, if you want to believe that, then that's exactly what you're going to have. But if you'll get up and say, you are only emotions and I will not be dictated by you, I will cause myself to move forward. I will trust the Lord. I know what I'm talking about. You can ask Betty. For years, I battled that. Have no idea why. On a weekly basis. It was not one day a week. It was every week. It was constantly consistent. I dealt with it. I battled it. She battled it. Matter of fact, it would affect her tremendously. I mean, I was an angry, depressed person. I couldn't function. There was days I literally couldn't function. I would hide from people. Until I just, there was something I couldn't get out of. And then I would try to put on this face. And I would try to get out there and function. And I told Betty one day, I said, listen. When I was doing good, I said, stop being affected by me. When my behavior affects you, it's going to take me twice as long to get out of it because I'm going to feel even worse because I hurt you or I caused you problems. I said, start ignoring me. I said, if I'm just shut down and can't even function, just go on about your business. It'll help me get up faster. That's what she started doing. I mean, I'd just be where I couldn't even function. She'd just be going, well, I'll see you later. Amen. And it helped me get up. Why? Because I couldn't. You can't allow yourself just to lay there. You can't allow this. Why am I talking about this? Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying this morning. You've got to stop letting this thing be your God. Your emotions cannot be your God. They are just emotions. Thoughts are just thoughts. Truth is truth. When you get the Word inside of you, it is truth. And that truth counters emotions and thoughts. And you go back to truth every time and say, it doesn't matter how I feel today. I know that I'm blessed. I know that that God is on my side. I know that I will succeed if I'll just trust God. And you push yourself on. Amen. I practiced this. I practiced it and practiced it and practiced it. And it took me several years. But those bouts of depression got shorter and shorter and shorter. And the distance between them got longer and longer and longer. Till today, I can kill it in 10 minutes. You say, you mean it's not gone? No, it still tries to creep up on me. But I can shut it down. Amen. Anxiety is the same way. I know people don't like to hear this stuff, but I'm talking today about actually overcoming. I'm talking about battling through this stuff and saying, I will not serve you. You will serve me. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. And whenever you realize those anxiety attacks, you'd swear you're dying. And I mean, you can't think. Your mind's you're crazy and stuff like that. You think you're going crazy. You think everything. I mean, the world's going to end right now, and it's terrible. But one of the ways that I started dealing with that the same way. I started saying, you're just adrenaline. I know how to deal with you. So a lot of times in the middle of the night, I'd wake up having one of those anxiety attacks where you can't breathe and you're sweating and you know, this fear is trying to take over your mind and you're almost out of control and everything. You know what I start doing? I'd drop down on the floor and start doing push-ups. Now y'all thinking, now I know he's crazy. You got to burn up the adrenaline. It's massive amounts of adrenaline being, I don't know why I have totally went a totally different direction here. Massive amounts of adrenaline because of undealt with anxiety or else thing with me, a lot of it was trying to come off the drugs they put me on in the hospital. But whenever you're dealing with that kind of stuff, if you will stop taking it serious, stop believing that it's real. I mean, get a hold of yourself and say, this is just emotions, this is just feelings, this is adrenaline, this is chemicals, and my God and my body and my soul is greater than you are. Amen. So there's a lot of nights I'd be in the middle of the night, I'd be doing push-ups. You know why? Because that's the only way you can burn up that adrenaline. If not, your heart is the only muscle still working when you're laying down. If you're not active, your heart is the only muscle working. So you know why your heart pounds and races like it does? Because it's trying to burn up the adrenaline that's in your blood. So get up and work it off. Man, this is going over like a lead balloon. Don't tell me I have to do something. It should be easy. Why do we think that everything should be easy? Why is it that people believe today that serving God should be easy? I don't get it. I don't understand it. It is a war. You are at war with an enemy and he wants to destroy you. When it gets easy is when you learn to push through with enduring confidence and you learn to be settled in your heart and faith takes hold and you stop reacting to what's going on in your life. Man, oh man, I am preaching such a different message. You teach yourself to stop reacting to this stuff. I mean, we don't even have fuses anymore. We used to at least have a fuse. A lot of people now just blow up without even, nobody even has to light their fuse. Emotions just everywhere. You know, it's all of a sudden you just splatter everybody with this emotional blow up and nobody even lit your fuse. What in the world happened? You have trained yourself to react instead of respond. Amen. Oh my. I feel like a dad lecturing. Sometimes we need this. Amen. Praise God. The only way that we're going to learn to have victory, you can say you got all the faith you want to have, but if that faith won't push you through to victory, it is not faith. Faith pushes you through. Faith causes you to get up instead of sitting down. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Come on, somebody. These things that are destroying our lives today in the church should not be destroying our lives today. And I know I know there's people thinking, oh, you're endangering people and all this kind of stuff. Hey, I'm not telling you to get off your drugs or whatever. I'm just telling you that you need to start pushing through. Amen. You need to start pushing through. If we can't learn to push through, we get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. Amen. The more pain medication you take, the more pain hurts. Amen. Woo, I'm preaching good today. Amen. The more you try to avoid things, the more tender you become to it. The more you try to avoid confrontation, the more sensitive you'll become to confrontation. The more it'll affect you. Amen. Praise God. We need to develop the habit of joyful and confident expectation. Wow. You know why? Because we have generations of people that are lost today. I'm going to stop here because I've got a whole nother message to preach. But there's got to be hope. And not only does there have to be hope, we have got to learn, we have got to teach, especially our younger generations, how to push through, how to endure, how to push through this thing and not be so affected by the things around us. Amen. Got to get up. We've got to make it happen. Amen. Praise God. It's like my granddaughter. She's 2 years old. Anybody knows what a two-year-old's like? And when things don't go her way, she immediately falls down on the floor. I mean, just immediately. Now, she doesn't do it where it hurts her anymore because she learned that if she falls down too hard, it hurts. And so as soon as something doesn't go her way, she slowly lays down. You know, slowly lays down and just lays down on the floor. She's protesting. And so a lot of the ways that Natalie has dealt with that is she just steps over and just goes on about her day and tells her, whenever you want to get up. You know, just not going to pay attention to it. Kind of like Rob, Ethan used to do that. And you know, he'd get upset when he didn't get his way and just cry. And Rob just be sitting there going on about his business. Pretty soon he'd turn around and say, "Are you done yet?" And if Ethan wasn't done, he'd just go right back into it. He'd say, "Okay." And after a while, he'd say, "Are you done, Ethan?" "Yeah." You got to take the power away from him. But my granddaughter, every time she does that now when she's around me, I approach it. You know, parents approach it like, "You're going to mind me, kid." Grandparents approach it like, "I'm going to distract you and change your mind." You know, parents are law and grandparents are grace. So when she does that around me, as soon as she falls down, I say, "Okay, I have no other choice but to tickle you." She's real ticklish, so I'll walk over there and I'll just start poking her. And she'll do her best, and pretty soon she'll be laughing. See, she's got to understand that you can protest all you want to, it's not going to change life. You can buck against the stuff all you want to, it's not going to change life. You got to embrace life, and you got to learn to conquer it. Amen. Praise God. I have been preaching like this since the first of the year. I don't know what I think God's wanting us to just to. We have victory ahead of us, and we've got to push it through. Amen. We got to push it through. We got to stick with it. Amen. Push this thing through. We're living in a time where we're seeing the manifestation. Just in our government, I mean, our government heads, we have seen more spiritual demonstration lately than we've ever seen before. I mean, it's amazing. You know, Mike Pence giving a speech the other day and quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14. He has quoted that ever since he was chosen as vice president. "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, and then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land." He has preached that all this time. I mean, when's the last time we had somebody in the top echelons of government declaring the word of God? Amen. I mean, come on. The church ought to be ecstatic right now. You know, the president's why? Donald Trump says, I have to have God. He seemed like a very arrogant, self-sufficient person, but he said anybody that would be in this position has to have God every day in their life. And then his wife gets up and leads everybody in the Lord's Prayer at a speech. Never happened before in history. I mean, I don't care what you think about him personally. I want you to start listening to voices. Remember, I told you back in 2012 that God was going to start raise up voices. And we need to listen to the voices instead of looking at the messenger. And if we start listening to the voices today, we'll realize that we have been pushing and travailing and we're starting to see some victory and we're starting to see a revival take place in this nation. And we need to start rejoicing at that. Amen. Praise God. Oh, stand with me today. If you decide that you want to overcome and have victory, you can have it. You can have it in your life. But it's not going to come from snapping your fingers. It's going to come from when everything goes wrong, you get up and keep pushing. It's going to come from when you feel like there is no hope. You just get up and keep doing what you know to do. Because you're developing a habit. A habit of joyful, confident expectation in God. You have to learn to live a life like that all the time. Disappointments is one of the greatest weapons the enemy has against us. And if we don't learn how to deal with disappointment, we will never be able to have victory in our life. Because it'll always rob you. It'll always strip from you everything you're trying to accomplish. Disappointment is not the end of the world. And it should not change you. Disappointment is just disappointment. It means that you had expectations that were not fulfilled. But that doesn't mean you just throw up your hands and say, well, that's it, I'm done. No. You become unswavering in your endurance. Unswavering in your endurance. Amen. You're going to have, just, if nothing else, just outlive the thing. Amen. Just outlive the thing. I've actually told people before. I had some elders one time telling me that I would never do this, you'll never do this, and we're going to stop you, and we're, you know, you're going to do this, and we're going to stand against you, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, guys, look. I said, if nothing else, I'll outlive you. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Amen. Praise God. You just got to sit yourself and just keep going. No matter what opposition comes against you, you got to sit yourself and keep going. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name.